to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. The message today, the talk, the sermon, whatever we want to call it, I just call it communication from what God's given me to give to you, to feed you this morning. But one of the things that God has really spoken to me about in the last few weeks, we've been talking about healings, the healing of Jesus. Not to say that I'm not going to go back to that again and to talk about the miracles of Christ, but today I want to talk to you about something I think that is really important for our life. Because I think one of the key things, and Ron Carpenter said this, and it really sparked in my spirit, and he asked everybody, how many knows the devil's defeated? But you haven't come to my house lately then. Amen. When we say that he doesn't have any power, but yet here we are struggling with sickness, struggling with circumstances and situations in our life. Is that the truth? Amen. The devil has been defeated, but who defeated him? Jesus Christ has defeated him. And we know for a fact that hell was not made for you and I. We know that the Bible tells us that hell was made for the devil and his angels. And I want you to know that seeing the things that are going on in this earth right now, how many knows that the devil's not parked in hell? Amen? I said his demons aren't parked in hell. They're not sitting back with pina coladas, man. You know, they can't have ice in hell because it won't. You know how that works. Anyways, they're kind of like hot pina coladas. So. It's like warm milk. They can't even have cold milk in hell. So, but how many knows what I'm saying? See, the devil is not in hell, neither is his demons. They know that their eventual end and their outcome is going to be where? It's going to be hell. They don't want to spend any more time in there until they have to. There's no need for them to spend it. They are loose, but where are they loosed? Amen? See, they're loosed in the earth, but where are they? Where is the territory of Satan? Don't you think that'd be wise for us to know? Amen? If you know that there was a killer on the loose, and I've seen this report. Somebody has seen those reports where somebody's holding somebody hostage in a house. Right? How many's ever seen that on the news? You know, the helicopter's flying around, and the news like, you know, person's holding a hostage. You know, they got a gun to their head. How many's ever had a desire to go there and just share that experience with that person? Nobody. So we got no yes votes on that one. Why is that? Because we're not dumb. Because you don't go if you know that there is danger there. It's there. You're not a police officer. You're not in that position. You have not been given that authority. That police officer can go because he's got one important instrument, two, in fact. Do you know what that is? It's his badge, Pastor. No, it's not his badge. But we're close. It's his gun. Amen? It's his authority. He has the authority. He has the training. He has the teaching. He's been instructed how to deal with dangerous individuals. Amen? Right? Am I making sense this morning? Amen. I can't be mumbling. I'm a little tired from the past week here, so I'm a little sleep deprived. But how many knows he has the teaching, the training, so he can go in to that territory, even though that people are being held captive and people's lives are in danger, he has the ability to be able to go in there. We don't go in there because we don't have the training to do that. We might get lucky if somebody broke into our home and we had a gun, and we might get lucky to get off a couple rounds and kill that person who was trying to endanger us. But we haven't been trained in that area. We may think we are, you know, but just because you watch cowboy movies on the weekend doesn't mean you've been trained to kill Indians and bad guys. I mean, here's what I'm saying to you. You may think one thing in your head, but that translates a whole lot different. I've been in the world. I've had guns pointed in my face. I'm going to tell you something. It's a lot different in reality than it is on television. I can tell you that. Amen. No matter how small the gun, it looks like a cannon when it's stuck in your eyes. right here, about this close. It's amazing how little big a gun gets. And you know it. Well, how do you know it's real? Well, because you're looking at the bore and you know that water's not coming out the other end. But how many knows what I'm talking about? You're not trained. You're not taught for that. But here we are living in the world every day. And here we are many times ignorant of the devices of the enemy. And we think that binding and screaming and yelling at a demon is going to get him out. Not one time did Jesus ever yell and scream at a demon. Not one time. Didn't have to. Because he knew the authority that he had. That's why those demons one time that Jesus cast out, the legion that he cast out of the man, and he came to him. Remember what the demon said to him? Anybody remember? He said, "Why have you come? It's not your time. We know." What were they saying? See, what they were saying is that they know what's reserved for them. Hell's reserved for them. And they knew, and they were terrified, he was going to cast them back into hell. You remember what they asked him? They said, "Please," because they knew if they cast him out, they'd have to go back to that place. Because demons have to have a place. Amen? And they asked, can we be cast into those swine? So Jesus did. Now the swine were so smart, they ran off the side of the hill and killed themselves. That's how smart pigs are. Makes you stop and wonder about some folks who entertain demons all the time, don't it? Why? Well, because people are ignorant of demons. People are ignorant of spirits. So I know some of you from some of the churches you come to, they don't talk about demons and spirits. But the reason why that we can't get past some things and get over some things is because we don't have knowledge. Well, I don't believe in demons and I don't believe in ghosts. Well, that's because you've never seen one. I've seen them. See, I've seen them. I've seen them manifest. But I'm not here to give you a spooky story. I'm not here to try to scare you or to demonstrate to you how powerful I am. I want you to understand that most of the warfare that goes on is not in demon-possessed people. There's only a few instances that we saw to where that they were possessed in the Bible, and Jesus dealt with them curtly and quickly. But that's not where the majority of the warfare goes on in our lives. The majority of the warfare that goes on in our lives is through our lack of knowledge and the ignorance in our life. And if we could understand that through the knowledge of the Word, that we could overcome so many things in our life. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about overcoming ignorance. We're going to talk about real spiritual warfare and where real spiritual warfare is in our life. Are you ready today? Are you ready for the Word? Amen. I love technology, but I hate it going off all the time. Look at here. I'm reading to you out of the Amplified Bible. Is that okay this morning? Reading to you out of the Amplified, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you're there, say amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's begin reading verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, just as we receive mercy from God, which has granted us salvation and opportunities and blessings, look what he says here. We don't get discouraged nor lose our motivation. But we have renounced the disgraceful things hidden. We're in verse 2. But we have renounced the disgraceful things hidden because of shame. Not walking in trickery or adulterating the word of God, but by stating the truth openly and plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. Well, why is that? Well, the reason why is because nothing else is going to set you free except the truth. Truth does not, that's the only thing that's going to set you free. Not facts, but the truth. Amen? Not religion. Some of you are going to have to set aside some of the things that you've been taught. I know some of you hold on to them like they're just pure gold. But there's things that my mama taught me you know, just it just is not for today. Some things that were for my mama's days, not for this day. How many hears what I'm saying to you? And so I can't live according to my mama's truth. I've got to have a truth. I can't live according to her revelation. See, your mama may have been saved, but that doesn't make you saved, because God don't have grandchildren. See? Just because your mama saved doesn't mean that you're saved. Now, you want your mama praying for you. You want your grandmother praying for you. I'm here today because my mother prayed for me. She prayed me into the kingdom of God. I was hell on wheels. I can tell you that. No. I'm telling you. Amen. Me and the devil, we were tight. He said it. I believe it. That's why when I came into the kingdom of God, I realized when that truth came to me that I had been lied to all those years, and he had taken all of those precious years from me and taken precious things from me. And I realized through the word of God, as God has given me knowledge and given me his word, I realized that he can't keep what he has stolen from me because they don't belong to him. Now, I'm not talking about Cadillacs. I'm not talking about homes. I'm not talking about $1 million, because there weren't no $1 million to steal from me. Are you hearing me? But what was taken from me, is the things that pertain to life and godliness. The gifts that he tried to take out of my life. The things that he tried to destroy out of my life. And so I realize that God is bringing those things back to my life and restoring those things back to me. Amen? Amen. So look with me here in 2 Corinthians again. And it's not Rick's doing that to me, so I know it's not. There's something going on with the sound, but I don't care. Amen. So, but even at verse 3, but even if our gospel is in some tense hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only to those who are perishing. God's not hiding his word from you. Are you listening to me? The one that's hiding the word from those who are perishing is the God of this world, who is Satan, the prince of this world. The prince of what world? Not the whole world. That's where some of you get, that's where you misunderstand what he's telling you about. He's not talking about the world as that he owns the world. He's not the God of this world. He's the God of their world, and their world exists in their minds. Are you listening to me? He's not the God of my world. Satan is not the God of my world. Are you listening to me? The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. You got to learn how to properly interpret the word of God. So he's not talking about that the whole earth belongs to him, that God kicked him out of heaven because he was getting on his nerves, so he sent him to earth to get away from him, like some of you do your own kids. No, that's not what he's talking about here. When he sent him, he didn't send him into the earth. He sent him into the center of the earth, which is hell. That's where he sent him. But I want you to know that where he dwells, he does not dwell in my life. I live in this world, but everywhere my feet trod belongs to me. And it belongs to me because of the knowledge of Christ that lives and exists in my life. The enemy only exists where you allow him to exist in knowledge. Or the lack of knowledge, excuse me. So here he tells us in verse 4, among them the god of this world, Satan, has blinded. Look what it says. The god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving to prevent them. When he's talking about the world here, he's talking about the spiritual world here. Okay? He's talking about the spiritual world here. He said, in verse 4, blinded the minds of the unbelieving, preventing them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel. I want you to circle that word light there, because what he's talking about here, every time that you see the word light, he's talking about revelation. He's talking about knowledge. When the Bible talks about light, it's talking about knowledge. It's not talking about a light bulb. It's not talking about a flashlight. It's not talking about a candle. When he's talking about light, and we see that in the Bible, he's talking about knowledge. He's talking about rhema knowledge. He's talking about personal revelation. So if you don't have light, you can't see. Amen? How many understands that? Just like in a natural sense, if you walk into a darkened room, the first thing you're going to do is what? No, you're not going to turn on light. You're going to stick out your hands. Amen. You're going to start feeling. What are you going to do? Sure you do. You stick out your hands. That's a natural thing, because you're trying to feel your way. See, when you don't have light, when you don't have revelation, what do? You try to feel your way through a circumstance. Anytime you get into a problem with your life and you're having issues in your life, what you do is simply you try to feel your way through. That's why your feelings get hurt when you're offended. But the Bible says that he who loves the word cannot be offended. That means if revelation light is on the inside of you, if God's knowledge is on the inside of you, you can't be offended because you already know what God's word says. So if you're being lied to by the enemy about something, you have the ability to say, no, that's not true. Amen? How many has ever been lied on? Raise your hand. But how many knows it wasn't true? No. But how many knows it wasn't true? Raise your hand. When you were lied about, how many were lied about? Because, see, if you're lied about, that means it wasn't true. If it was true, it wasn't a lie. That's gossip. So we ain't talking about that, are we? So we're talking about if you're lied about, somebody lies on you. Somebody lies on you. I'm not talking about you personally. But if somebody lies about you and you know it's not the truth, let me ask you a question. Why did you get your feelings hurt? Just letting them marinate there for a second. See, if you know it's the truth, why did you get your feelings hurt? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the truth is here, not here. Because you allow the truth to be here. But what you're doing is you're putting more emphasis and more value. Listen to me. You're putting more value on the person telling the lie than the value of the truth that you know it's not true. That's the only way you can get hurt. It's the only way you can get offended. To stay away from offense, you have to have the truth solidified in your heart. This is what he's saying right here. Let's go back to the word here. I'm going to get ahead of myself. Like I never do that. Look what he says here. Prevent them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Well, how does he do that? Well, he does that in several ways. Number one is that for unbelievers, he makes them look at the cross like, no, that's stupid. There ain't no way. There ain't no way that's going to save me. Oh, when you're unbelieving, I mean, how many things did you have in your life before you knew Jesus Christ? Well, religion's not for me. That's for orphans and for women. Because real men don't need salvation or whatever the reason is. I don't know. Whatever it was, or it was foolishness, or I don't want to. I don't want to get saved now. I don't want it. I don't need it right now. But whatever the reason is, he's going to give you a reason. If you're unsaved, he's going to give you a reason of why you don't need it and why you don't want it. He doesn't want you to see it because he don't want you to be illuminated, because he knows that once you have knowledge, once you have, I'm not just talking about any knowledge, I'm talking about rhema knowledge, I'm talking about revelation knowledge. I'm talking about that you know that you're saved, that you know that God has done a work in your life. When you have that truth in your life, nobody, how many knows what it feels like to have real truth in your life, and no matter what anybody says or what anybody does, when you have that truth, it's like forever solid in your heart. No matter what anybody says, they can come to you and say, well, it don't work. And say, well, you came too late. I know it works. See, I understand why people don't believe in healing. They don't believe in healing because they never saw anybody get healed. I understand why people don't believe in certain supernatural things in the kingdom of God that God's promised us, is because they haven't seen it, because the church hasn't demonstrated those things. But how many have seen your heart? Raise your hand. How many have seen your heart? How many has not seen your heart? Now, how do you know you got one then? You know it because you're breathing, because you're living, because you're existing. You don't see the physical organ that's in your body, but you know by how. You know because you're alive, because you're walking around. How do I know salvation works? Because it's changed my heart. I can't see it on the inside of me, but you can see it manifested of the work that's been done on the inside of me. But I want you to know something. God didn't have a little physical scalpel and come down and cut open my spiritual heart and put a little Jesus on the inside. That's not what he's talking about here. He came by his Spirit. That's why he sent his Holy Spirit. I'm not born of the flesh. I'm not born of flesh and blood. I'm born of the Spirit of God. He has changed my spirit. I'm going to do a whole teaching on spirit, soul, and body. I'm not going to get to it today. I'm probably going to teach it Wednesday. But I want you to understand that there's a difference. God doesn't come and save your mind. He doesn't even come and save your body. He saves your spirit. That's what he saves. And how many knows that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in what? Truth and spirit and truth. Look, what do you think the devil is? The devil is not flesh and blood. The devil is spirit. He's a spirit. Everybody say the devil's a spirit. Well, you're not going to war against him in flesh and blood. Ephesians chapter 6, and I may read that in a little bit. Ephesians chapter 6, starting there at verse 10, he talks about that my warfare is not with flesh and blood. But here I am trying to struggle because I think somebody is against me. You know, somebody at work, somebody at church, you know, somebody is against me. So I think my issue and my problem and my struggle is against flesh and blood. So I always make it about people. See, I make my problems about people. You don't have a people problem. You have either a body problem, a soul problem, or a spirit problem. You've got to discern where your problem is so that you can deal with that. Any area of your life that you're battling in, because Satan doesn't have any rule in your life except through your ignorance. That's where he rules. See, I want you to know, he's still the sovereign God of the universe. I said, he's the sovereign God of the universe. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The only place that Satan can rule is in the area of your ignorance. That is his territory. He can't rule any place else. The only way he can rule is convince you to believe what he wants you to believe, so you be the idiot that he wants you to be. So that he can put sickness, disease, poverty. What do you think that he has allowed? You think that some pedophile is doing it because that it's in his DNA. It's not in his DNA. It's in his spirit. And he entertained something, and something, either through abuse or some way, got into his life through his knowledge, and he received that spirit. And what he has done, he becomes an instrument of Satan to what? To destroy individual lives. Little children's lives. And little children grow up to be what? Yeah, not adults. Big children with big hurts. And we wonder why. And so what it affects is not only your spirit, but affects the way you're thinking. So therefore, that person who's been abused or traumatized by that thing literally believes in heart, nobody loves me, I'm no good, I'm unclean. They're filled with shame, they're filled with hurt, they're filled with pain. Are you listening to me? And some of them get saved. They come into the church and they get saved. But the problem is that in their mind, they're still that abused person. And their emotions and their intellect and their will realm is still messed up. It's not their spirit that needs to be changed. It's their mind. They need to come to a revelation. Because the enemy even tells them as they sit in church, that doesn't work. Now, that won't work for you. You're still going to have to live in that. You're still going to have to live with those thoughts. You'll never be free from it. But the moment, how many knows it's been freed from abuse and who's been freed from rape or been freed from something nasty you happened? When you get that revelation in your mind that Jesus loves you and that Jesus came to set you free, once you get that freedom in your mind, you know you've been freed. You can be saved but still be in bondage. Amen? I mean, you can be saved, but in your mind be filled with bitterness and hatred. See, a lot of people don't understand that. How many knows it's true? Sure it is. Amen? Look at here. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves merely as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of what? Out of darkness. Well, what's darkness? Darkness is ignorance in the Word of God. What is sin? Sin is the absence of knowledge that Jesus saves. If you're a sinner, the only reason you're a sinner, what separates you from being a sinner and a saint is the knowledge and accepting the knowledge that Jesus saves. Amen. Because how do you get saved? You get saved by faith. And how do you get faith? You have faith because you hear. You hear the word of what? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you hear the knowledge that God can save. How are you changed? How are you healed? Because you hear the knowledge of the word. How are you delivered? Because you hear the knowledge of the word of God. Now, I know that this is no shouting word today, but it's a good word because I'm teaching you something. Amen? I'm teaching you something. Teaching you how to overcome ignorance in your life. How to overcome that game. You're not going to overcome the things in your life by just sitting here every Sunday. I want you to sit here every Sunday, but I want you to know something. If all you've been is a church goer all your life, and you think that that's going to build a happy marriage, that's going to make you prosperous, No. You have to take what's being preached, receive that, and then put it to practice in your life. But you have to understand it. It has to be revelation knowledge to your life. Amen? How many hears it? So look what he says. He let shine out of darkness is the one who has shown in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory and the majesty of God clearly revealed in the face of Christ. But we have this precious treasure, the good news about salvation, in where? In these earthen vessels. So he chose these vessels to put this knowledge on the inside. Why? Not so you could watch, that you could be a spiritual hoarder. That's not why God put his knowledge on the inside of you. God didn't put his knowledge on the inside of you so that you'd be a spiritual hoarder. God put his knowledge on the inside of you so that you would share that knowledge with other folk. So that you would share the life and the knowledge of Jesus Christ with other folks. That's why God put his life. Freely you have received, now freely give. Amen. I'm preaching better than you say amen, but I've already forgiven you. So I'm not even in unforgiveness towards you this morning. Look what he says here. He said, but we have this precious treasure, the good news about salvation in unworthy earthen vessels or human frailty, so that the grandeur and the surpassing greatness of power will be shown to be from God and not from ourselves. How many hears that today? Now, I want you to understand today. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. So I know sometimes I have to preach a word, and it's going to take some time. I'm going to keep preaching it until you get it. Are you hearing me? Man, that's what I've done for 4 years. I'm going to come to this. Amen. Some of you are going to get a little bit. But I know that you're going to get 20% of this. Then I'm going to come back again. I'm going to let this go. I'm going to go to something else. Feed you with something else. But you know what? I'm coming back to this. And the next time I come back, some of you are going to get 40, 60, 100-fold. Because my job is not to collect the harvest. My job is to sow the seed. See, God never called anybody to be a soul winner. Anybody know where that scripture is? It's found in the Bible. There's nothing in the Bible about being a soul winner. What is in the Bible is that God's called you to spread the gospel. God's called you to sow seed. My responsibility, see, some of us won't witness because we're afraid somebody's going to tell us no. Well, it's not my business whether you say no or yes. See, it's not even my business whether you say amen or not. But if you're here, I'm sowing the seed. Now you're responsible. And according to your heart condition is how you're going to receive that word. And even though, and here's how I believe as a pastor, even though that your heart may have some stones in it today, hopefully through the word of God, you're going to get enough and you're going to remove some of those stones so you can have more of a harvest. Because some of you have never had a harvest in your life. But I declare to you today that you're sitting here so that God can bring you into a place of having harvest in your life. A harvest of joy, a harvest of life, a harvest of healing. A harvest in your life that transforms you and changes you into the image of Christ. So I'm going to sow the seed. Amen. Why, Lord, if I only sowed seed by how some people look, I'd just run into my office and crawl under my desk in a fetal position. I mean, some of you look like you've been sucking on a dill pickle before you came. Like you look like you're mad at somebody. I mean, who are you mad? I mean, how could you be that mad? Come on. I can understand. I used to be that mad coming to church. But you know what? I ain't sowing seed because you know what? I'm not going by my feelings. See, I'm not in darkness. I'm not, where am I? as a pastor, I'm in dark. No. You got to understand that the light of God is on the inside of me. I'm not preaching what I'm trying to believe in. I'm preaching what I do believe in. What I'm preaching is because of the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ is on the inside of me. If I only sowed in fields what was already prepared for me, I'd never sow any seeds. I know that some of you got some thorny areas in your life. You know, prickly about everything. Amen? How many's ever been through a thorn bush? I fell into a thorn bush as a kid from a bridge. Don't even want to go there. So my mother only thought one thing healed was that iodine. Sweet Jesus. I can tell you that moment was a love-hate relationship with my mother right then. I love you, Mama, because you're here, but I'm hating you every time you put that iodine on one of my cuts. See, I understand that's the process. That's why I don't get discouraged. See, I don't get up on Monday morning like, oh, God, why did you call me to Wilkesboro? Poor, lonely me. No, I know why God called me here. He called me here because I'm full of light. He called me here because I'm not somebody who backs down because there's a little scuffle. Amen. I'm not the one who runs from a fight. My problem is I'm always running to the fight. I'm always running to the scuffle. I'm always running to the noise. And that's why I know in my heart that many of you, even though you don't know it, just like my kids sometimes don't know what's best for them, I know as your pastor what's best for you. And I declare to you today that you're not going to stay ignorant concerning the Word of God, but the Word of God's going to come alive in your life. It's going to come alive in your life, and you're going to hear the Word of God. You're going to walk in the Word of God. You're going to walk in His statutes. You're going to be free. You're going to be healed. You're going to be delivered because the Word of God is being sown into your life every week. And if it ain't being sown here, I want you to know me and Pastor Karen sowing the Word of God, sitting out on our front porch as we speak your name and cast the Word of God into your life. Because His words are not flesh and blood. His words are spirit and they are life. And I know that the power of life and death is in my tongue. And when I speak life over you, I mean for you to have life. You've lived in death enough. You've lived in religion enough. You've lived in enough sorry situations. And I'm declaring over you, you're coming out of it. I say you're coming out of it. You're coming out of your depression. You're coming out of your sickness. You're coming out of your poverty. Amen? Now you're preaching. Now look. In Matthew chapter 6. Is that right? Or am I over? Huh? Amen. Just looking at the clock. I got 45 minutes left. Oh, I don't have my glasses on, so I can't see. I heard some of you suck air back here. I said, oh God, he's... No. Well, you can't get up now. Everybody's going to look at you. Are they mad? Look, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Want to know why? Stuff is being taken away from you all the time? Because you keep storing your treasures up here in the earth. Well, I'm not talking about retirement. I'm talking about being smart, having a savings account. Amen. I know some of you don't have a savings account. Probably got a milk can stored in your backyard someplace, thinking nobody's ever going to get to this. Or you got a stuff in your mattress, like some folks used to do. They used to, that's where you get that, the ding-dongs. How many likes ding-dongs? You know where they got that from? They got that back in World War II, where they'd take their bills and they'd roll them up. And what they'd do is they'd stick them behind the wall. And that's where they'd save their money. They were called ding-dongs. Amen? Now, see, you just thought you were going to come and learn about the Bible today. Aren't you blessed? Look, lay not up your treasures, but lay up for yourselves, look what it says, treasures in heaven.
Well, how are you going? You can't lay up $20 bills in heaven. Amen. You can't take, you know, I can't take my motorcycle. Thank God, you know. That's how, why some people, you know, that one guy, you remember, how many's ever heard that story about the man told his wife he wanted all of his money buried with him? How ever heard that story? Yeah. He wanted all of his money buried with him. So you know what she did? She said, okay, no problem. I'll do it. So on the day that they buried him, she wrote him a check. See ya. That's a smart woman. Guess who's not going to live her life in bitterness? We're not talking about laying up physical treasure in heaven. What's he talking about laying up treasures in heaven? You want to know what it is? How many want to know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. It's what you were doing here today. Some of you, maybe for the first time, you lifted your hands and praised. That's treasure. Every time you tell somebody about Jesus Christ, you sow a seed. See, that's what we do. We just sow seeds. We sow seeds. We sow seeds. Some of us sow, some of us water, some of us plant, and then others gain the harvest. You may not even give the harvest, but you got to sow the seed. I said, you got to sow the seed. It doesn't mean anything else. You say, well, Pastor, I've never been taught a soul winning class, but how many of you have a testimony of where God's brought you from? I said, how many of you got a testimony of where God's brought you from? How many got a testimony where God brought you from? You have a testimony. And as the Holy Spirit leads you into people's lives, as God speaks to you, and God speaks to you about somebody, you give them your testimony. You sow that seed. Now, look, you say to that person, look, I don't know who you are, but I just wanted to share with you. And you start by asking them a question, you know, who you are, what you are. They may tell you, well, you know, God may give you a revelation knowledge that person's been abused because you've been abused. And so God speaks to you that woman, that waitress has been abused. How many hears what I'm saying to you? And so God speaks to you and you begin to tell them your testimony. Say, look, God just wanted me to tell you that he loves you and he wants you to know that. And I used to be somebody who had a lot of trouble and issues in my life. I may have been a drug addict. I may have been an alcoholic. I was an abused person. I was a person who was full of anger and hate. And I just want you to know, I'm not that person anymore. Jesus Christ has made a difference in my life. And then you leave it there. And then if that person, you have the opportunity and you say to that individual, look, I just want you to understand today, is there anything that would keep you from receiving Christ? If that person says no, you don't have to get all depressed like, oh, no. Well, I thought after my testimony, you'd want to receive Christ. Look, you're not there to necessarily win. You're there to sow the seed. And sometimes it's not even as blatant as that. See, sometimes witnessing can be just a touch. Sometimes it can be formed in the fact of that person that living next door to you that's an unsaved individual to go over there and rake the leaves in their yard or to bless them somehow. That's sowing seed. But we got to be about sowing seed. Quit trying to be the harvester in every situation. You don't have to take that responsibility. It don't belong to you. Have the light of the revelation of knowing that God is wanting you to store up in heaven. So for where your treasure is, there is where your heart is. How many knows you go where your heart is? The light of the body is the what? Look what it says. The light of the body is the eye. What's he talking about? He's not talking about, I mean, in the natural, you have to have light to be able to see through the eye. How many thinks he's talking about your natural eye here? You think Jesus is talking about your natural eye? I don't think he's talking about your natural eye. What's he talking about? He's talking about the eyes or the eyes of your understanding or the eyes of your heart. He said, the light of the body is in the eye, is in your understanding. It's not enough just to have knowledge, but how that we destroy the works of the devil is how did Jesus destroy the works of the devil? He didn't destroy the works of the devil by getting into a shouting match with him. In every situation, whether it was the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, pride of life, how did he overcome the works of the works of the devil? He overcame him by the word of God.
He overcame him because of the revelation that was already inside of him, knowing what he had. And so he had that knowledge, and he destroyed him through revelation knowledge on the inside of him. You're not going to destroy the devil's works in your life by trying to outlast him. You can't outlast the devil. This is not a marathon race with the devil. This is about you having understanding, and that when he comes in like a flood in your life, you can raise up a standard of the word and say, not here, bud. You're not coming in here. You're not lying to me anymore, because I now have the truth. I have the truth. I have the truth. Amen. I want you to know something, and I want you to hear me. As a believer, the majority of the things that I've been delivered from my life has not been because somebody has laid hands on me and discerned all the demons in my life. I'm sure there was times where I needed hands laid on me. Amen. That was a good opportunity for some of you to say amen, but you didn't. Yes. But that's not where my deliverance has come from. My deliverance has come from because of the Word of God and that revelation. And when that revelation happened in my life and I understood this is God's will for my life, I was able, not only, I didn't have to call a preacher. I didn't have to call somebody. I didn't even have to look in my Bible. If he comes to me in the middle of the night and I don't have a chance to open my Bible, and he wants to lie to my mind as I lay there asleep and I can't get to sleep because he's tormenting me with a thought that I can't get rid of. What do I do, Pastor? I don't have to say, hey, look, bud, Matthew chapter 6 and 33 says this. I don't have to say it. I just have to speak what's on the inside of me. That's a lie. That's a lie, because I know what the truth says. God says I'm free. I know you keep saying I'm bound, but I know I'm free. How many hears what I'm saying? The enemy can't stand up against the Word of God. Look what he says. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be what? But if your eye is divided against light and darkness, then you become confused. But look what he says. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness or ignorance. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is thy darkness? So he's not. So that don't even make sense. Does it make sense to you? See, if you look at it in the natural, it doesn't make sense. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about darkness. He's talking about darkness and light is the lack of understanding or understanding itself. So if therefore the darkness is in you and that is your light, that means you have a lack of understanding towards the thing that you are facing in your life. But once you get understanding, once you get revelation, once you get the truth of what God wants for your life, you're able then to have full light, full freedom in your life. See, no man can bring that to you. Only the Holy Spirit, a living and abiding within you, can do that. But man, once God brings you that revelation knowledge, your life is different. How many knows what Pastor's talking about today? Because man, once you get that knowledge in your life, it's there. So I am saying to you, see, I know that a lot of people think and say, well, Pastor, what's the big deal about reading your Bible every day? And the truth is, Pastor, is that, you know, God, man, you're going through the prophets and it's, you know, Israel and they're stiff-neckedness or stubbornness. I mean, what could that have to do with me, Pastor? He's talking to Israel there. He's not talking to me. So what relevance is it? No. In fact, some things that he's writing there, it don't have nothing to do with you at the moment. It's not about, and I know this is going to be a surprise, it's not about you. Because God simply may be trying to deposit something on your life to bring you deliverance later on in your life. But until you in obedience take what God has now. See, what we want is we want it how we want it. Amen? You've heard me tell the story over and over again. You know, Zach has a list of foods that he'll eat. It's a short list. That's because he's never really been hungry. Amen? Because if you're really hungry, you eat anything. Somebody said, not me, brother. No.
That's because you've never been hungry. Amen? See, I mean, you could have nothing else in your house but bread, but you'll eat it. I mean, here's what I'm saying to you. But you would have never ate bread before. I don't eat bread. I don't like bread. But you're hungry, eat bread. Well, I ain't going to eat vegetables. Well, what if all you have in your house is vegetables? Well, I'll just starve to death. No, you won't. Because I can tell you, after about the fourth, fifth day, even if you've got to wait 7 days, I'm going to tell you something. All of a sudden, that broccoli looks like steak. And you'd be amazed. You'd be amazed how food tastes when you don't have that you don't have that demon crack on the inside of it called sugar. Because you know as well, dude, sugar is nothing but crack, legal crack. Oh, you can sit there and shake your head all you want. Amen. But I've been an addict most of my life. And I can tell you, on both sides of the picture, sugar is worse than any heroin and any meth. How many, here's what I'm saying to you. Because at least meth makes you feel good for a little bit. Sugar's a shorter high. Then it just makes you crummy the rest of the day. And fat. Meth won't make you fat. Oh, Lord, help me now. I'm in trouble. I'm not even looking at Pastor Karen. My lovely Assembly God wife. Hallelujah. She never knew what she was getting into. Verse 23, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Therefore thy light, if that light, that knowledge, the full understanding that is in thee, be darkness, how great is thy darkness? See, no wonder we've been stumbling around for so long, trying to find answers, trying to find solutions in our life. Why have we been stumbling around? Because the light in us is darkness. Because it's the truth. See, you can even have knowledge, Miss Rachel. See, you can even have Bible knowledge, but it still be the wrong knowledge, Teresa. See, you can have knowledge, but using it the wrong way. Amen. How many ever uses a screwdriver as a hammer? Raise your hand. How many honest people do we got? You ever taken a screwdriver and used it as a hammer? How many's ever used a butter knife as a screwdriver? You're telling me when the man invented the knife, he said, oh, this is going to make a good screwdriver too. See, God's giving you tools in the Word. But if you think that's what it is, if that's what it is, and Debbie said it, she said, it works. Yeah, it's going to work for that moment. And that's the problem. Some of your knowledge only works temporarily. But it's not going to work long term. You're not going to be able to do a large job. You're not going to be able to accomplish larger things because that's not what it's meant to do. And God can, you can have knowledge in your inside of you, but not realize that's not what it's for, or have a misunderstanding. See, you can believe that certain things don't exist today. Certain things aren't supposed to be today. But as long as you've never experienced that, and if you've been told that all your life, if you've been told that and been taught that all your life, then you're going to think it's right. But I want to inform you today, just because you believe it don't make it so. Are you hearing me? Your fathers and your mothers before have said things over your life and have called you things. People called you things, declared things, decreed things over your life. And because of you became those things, because they decreed those things out of their mouth. They didn't realize, our mothers and fathers didn't realize the power they had over our lives and the things that they said over our lives. And they got into our spirit and got into our life. And our teachers and other people that had authority over our lives spoke things into our life. And we receive those things believing that it's true. Well, they said it must be true. And so now here comes a preacher later on in your adult life and tells you that these things are not true. God has something better. God has something greater. The knowledge you have is not a correct knowledge. God has something greater for your life. Amen? That's why that no man can serve two masters. See, he will hate the one and love the other. Or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Cannot serve God and mammon. What is he saying there? And I know that mammon is money. Well, what's he saying? He's saying you can't serve the spiritual and the natural at the same time. You're going to have to cling to the one or the other. But when you're living in both worlds, trying to attain through the knowledge you have of the natural instead of the supernatural, you're going to run into problems. Amen? Amen. Look with me here. I have one more scripture I want to read to you. Ephesians chapter 6. Are you still with me? Ephesians chapter 6. He said, finally, my brethren, verse 10, if you're there, say amen. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Look what it says here. Put on what? Now look, how many's heard the message about the whole armor of God? Sure you have. You've heard many messages about it. But what's he talking about? Amen. What's he talking about here? He's not talking about, you know, let's going out and getting an armor, you know, like they had, like a Roman soldier. That's not what he's talking about here. Look what he says here. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In whose might? So what is the armor of God? Look what it says, guys. Let the word interpret the word. Look what it says here. It said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So where is the power? It's in him. It's in the power of his might. Now, look what he says here. So now he gives instructions, practical instructions. He said, put on the whole armor of God. Why is he giving this example? Because they could associate with this in the day that they lived in, as especially the great Roman army. And the army with its helmet, its breastplate, its shield, its loins girded, its feet shod, okay, with the sandals they had. Okay? How many here's one? The sword of the Spirit. Look what he says here. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Stand against. What are the wiles of the devil? That's right. It's his deceptions, his trickery, the snares that he sets for you. How is it that an animal is able to get caught by a snare? Because he don't know it's there. A snare can be there. A snare can be there. But that's why they cover it up and make it look like it's a part of what? The scenery. A part of its surrounding. You know? That's why, you know, you're just walking around. Whoa! And you fall into a trap. How many hears what I'm saying? How did you fall in the trap? You fell in the trap because you didn't know it was there. Because it was a part of the scenery. Let me tell you something. The enemy is deceiving you. The enemy is deceiving you. And the enemy is tricking you because he's catching you not through the obvious. The enemy is not deceiving you. He's not tricking your life through the obvious things that are there. He's tricking you because he's made it to be a part of the scenery. This is good. I'm going to have to come back and listen to this myself. Look what he says here. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. Well, how are you going to stand against the wiles of the devil? Well, I'll just outlast him. No, you won't. Well, I'll just outsmart him. No, you won't. Let me tell you something, folks. If he could deceive Eve, if he could deceive Solomon, the wisest man in the world, if he could deceive David, if Judas and almost Peter, because Jesus almost lost Peter, he lost Judas because Judas gave himself, and Judas was there for every one of the miracles, every one of the miracles that Jesus performed. He saw everything by his own eye, by his own witness, but still chose out of his heart to follow Satan. And Peter was almost lost. You say, what, Pastor? Well, what did Jesus say to him? He said, Peter, Satan desires to sift you. To do what? To separate you from me. He said, I want you to know that. He desires to sift you. He has desired to sift you, to separate you from me. But I have prayed that your faith fail you not. And I want you to know that when you do, that's what he said to him. He said, and when you do overcome,
He said, strengthen your brethren. Are you listening to me? See, if Peter, you say, I would never. But if Peter, who was right there, seeing and hearing, and he was the most avid. Why was it? Because he said this in front of the other brother. Because Peter was not only a man of influence, he was a man of influence to his other brethren. So don't think that you're going to outlast him, outsmart him, outthink him, outserve him. Not going to happen. He's been around longer than most. Eons. And he is an expert in war. He is an expert in deception. And his power does not reside everywhere. His power doesn't reside in this service. He doesn't have no power here. He has no power here. He has no power in me. If I'm having a bad day up here, I'm not going to blame the devil. Well, I could have preached better, but the devil just wouldn't let me today. He don't have control over my life. Amen? But even as I'm preaching, if you're sitting there and your mind is like, well, who do you think's doing that? In your surrounding, in church, how dare the devil? I mean, I know this is surprising, but people come into church and even have lust thoughts sitting in church. Why'd you all get quiet? I would have said amen on that. I would, if I, no place else, I would have said amen. I don't want anybody, what'd they get quiet for? They got a little uneasy. What do you think that is? Why do you think that people sit in church and are mad? After a service like this, after praise and worship, and after everything that's going on, why do you think people are? Because he dwells in your ignorance. He dwells in your inability, in your mind to be able to stand against him. Why? Because you did not put on the shield, the helmet of what? Of faith to protect your thought. Why can he get into your heart? Because you have not put on and been established in righteousness. That's why he can come and attack you and tell you that you're not saved, that you're not born again, and that you really are not going to make it. But when you have the breastplate of righteousness and it's been established in your life, you can stand no matter what it is. Even though you've made a tragic mistake in your life, you know that Jesus will forgive you. Because you're established in righteousness. Are you hearing me? Look what he says. So that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Look what he says in verse 12. For we wrestle what? Not against what? Flesh and blood. Flesh and blood is not your problem. What is your problem? Your problem is here. And I'm closing with this verse. Flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness. In this world, against spiritual weaknesses in what? In where? Where? High places. You're in this world, but where are you battling? You think your battle's here. You think it's that boss that is against you. You think it is your unrenewed mother or your cousin, or you think it's your sister or your brother. Your battle's not against them. Your battle's not against any church. Your battle is in high places. Right here in your mind. And as long as you believe it, you're going to follow it. As long as you believe it here, you're going to do it. Your spirit is pure. Your spirit already knows. God's working your spirit, but he will not trespass against your will, your intellect, and your emotions. It's your responsibility. Your spirit is God's responsibility. He lives there. He dwells there. But how many knows God does not always live in your mind? You have to put him there. No. You're not listening to me. You invited him into your spirit. How many invited Jesus Christ into your life? That's right. He lives where? In your spirit. That's where your intuition dwells. Are you hearing me? That's where you communicate with God. You don't communicate with God from here. You communicate to God from your spirit. Are you hearing me? So your spirit, God lives here.
You had to invite him here. Well, how do you think he's going to get in your mind? You think there's a magic pill? You think that it's going to happen by accident? How many of you have been transformed because you have received the knowledge of God in your life and it transformed what? Not your spirit, but your mind. You are transformed by the renewing. What does that mean? How many has ever renewed a lease, renewed a contract? By the renewing of your mind. How are you going to have a change about finances in your life? God's not arguing with you about money. Your battle's here. You think by keeping it, you think that by saving it, you think that that's how you're going to come out. But you're not going to come out that way. I can tell you through 44 years of living and tithing and giving, the only way you come out is you got to follow God's principles, not yours. Amen. Did God create your problem? No, God didn't create your problem. Did God create your debt? No. Did God create the system you're working by? No, God didn't create that. You created that. And if you want to live in it, keep walking the same way. But if you want to come out, then what you need is new knowledge. And the enemy will keep, he will stop buffeting you. See, he buffets you because he knows you made a mistake. It's like getting lost. Amen. It's like getting lost. We were coming home and been that way several times. And me and Karen were talking. And she was talking and I was listening. I don't know, but I was driving. And we were talking about something. I mean, we were really involved. Were we fighting? No, we weren't fighting. Because we would have been a lot further down the road if we would have been fighting. Because, you know, when you're mad, you turn around. No, I didn't. So I know we weren't doing it. But we were talking. We were involved in talking about something. We missed our turn. She said, Mark, we went the wrong way. I said, Karen, you're right. We did. Then I looked, said, next exit, Scott, 4 miles. I thought, Jesus. See, now I don't just see 4 miles. I see 4 miles, 4 miles. I see 8 miles. Then I think in my head, 8 miles, that's Pastor Karen's driving, that's 20 minutes. If it's me driving, it's 7 minutes. But it's 7 minutes out of my way. It's kind of true. But you know what? I didn't keep driving thinking, well, somehow this is going to work out. I know it will. I mean, there's got to be a curve. Maybe there's a flip-flop here, and if I just keep driving, maybe there's another road down here that will magically appear and say, hey, for all the dumb people, take this road. It'll take you back to the right one. No. What did I have to do? I had to what? I had to what? Turn around. Well, God has a word for that in His Bible. Called repent. Why did that one almost say, Pastor, gee whiz, I got to do it again? Yeah, you got to do it again, bucko. In fact, you better make a habit of it because it becomes a habit once in a while. You have to, repent is not saying, oh, I'm so dumb. No, it's saying, I'm going the wrong way. I've got to turn around. I got a revelation for some of you this morning. If you didn't get nothing out of the word this morning, I got this small revelation for you. Look, why keep going the way you're going? It's not working. It's not working. If my car breaks down, I don't keep driving it till it breaks down, till it doesn't run no more. I take it to somebody who can what? Fix it. But I have to turn around from where I'm going and take it to a garage to get it fixed. Listen to somebody who knows. I'm trying to tell you this morning. You don't have a pastor who doesn't know you. Leadership doesn't know. We preach the truth here. If you're going the wrong way, how do I know I'm going the wrong way? Does somebody really got to tell you that? How many knows when you're going the wrong way? How many knows when your attitude's wrong? How many knows when you made a mistake? Sure you do. You don't need somebody to badger you about that. But you do need to know that Jesus loves you. And he wants you to turn around. Come on, say it today. Turn around. Come on, I just want you to bow your heads just for a minute right now, just right where you're at. I know it wasn't, you know, an astounding word this morning, and you know, but it was the word that God gave me for you, because I want you to hear it, and there's more here I want to teach. But if nothing else today, if your eyes closed, your head bowed right now, how many knows you've got to turn around in some things? You've got to turn around. You say, well, Pastor, I turned around, and then I turned around, and then I turned around from the turnaround. And I'm still turning around. I've turned around so much, I'm going in circles. That's not turning around. Turning around is going the opposite direction. It's going back to the right road. It's going back to Jesus. You know when you're not headed towards Christ. You know when you're not headed towards the Lord. You know that. Well, why let the devil come back and lie to you about that same old thing? Come on, right now. I want you to say out of your mouth, because some of you, not every one of you, but some of you this morning are fighting from a lie from the devil this morning. I know that. I can sense it as your pastor. I want you right now, you don't have to shout it out. You don't have to let everybody know. Right now, I just want you to say, devil, you are a liar. God's freed me from that. I'm free. God's freed from that. And I know you're trying to bring feelings back to me, emotions back to me, but those emotions and those feelings are a lie. They're a lie. Because I'm saved. I know I'm saved, and I know that God has redeemed me and forgiven me. Come on, I want you to say right out of your mouth, devil, you're a liar. You're a liar. Come on, help him this morning. Devil, you're a liar. You've lied to me about this. And I hear the truth this morning. I'm free. I'm free from this. I'm free from this torment. Come on. The enemy's tried to convince some of you that you're going to stay poor all your life. You're going to be in poverty all your life. And I'm here to tell you that's a lie from the devil. If you'll hear the truth about tithing and giving, God will break that thing. Just because you got money doesn't mean you're prosperous. Because just think about it. If you'd let God have it, God would take and bless that beyond what you'd be able to do. Come on, stand to your feet with me today.